We have reached championship weekend in Paris. Welcome to this women's final edition of TC Live at Roland Garros. We are presented all week by our friends at LoopNet. And after two long weeks in Paris, the climb to the top of the proverbial tower is just two sets away. One woman who has started to rule Roland Garros like queens of centuries past, facing an uprising from the comeback queen. It is a battle for supremacy on the Terbet 2. Iga Swiatek and Karolina Muchova, both playing for history. Our Tennis Channel premiere of the women's final airs at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. The returning champion, Iga Swiatek, comes into the championship full of confidence. She hasn't dropped a set all tournament, trying to become just the third woman in the Open era to win her first four major finals. Meantime, Karolina Muchova, arriving to her first major final, having saved a match point in the semis, comes in a perfect 5-0 against players ranked in the top three. She will crack the top 10 herself by raising the trophy today. Cannot wait for this one as we welcome you back onto our FanDuel Tennis Channel desk. Steve Weissman, Chanda Rubin, Paul Anacone, and John Wertheim. I want to welcome all the viewers watching on YouTube TV. You can now find Tennis Channel and T2 on YouTube TV. All right, Chanda, it is the day of the big match. What are your thoughts heading into it?
I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, we're all kind of wondering how much Karolina Muchova will have left. I mean, she expended a lot of energy getting through Sabalenka, having to save a match point. Iga Swiatek has looked so good. She had 4-6 love sets through her first three matches, had a retirement, wasn't really pushed going into that quarterfinal against Coco Gauff, but I think she had to show just enough fight, just enough poise, and then again against Haddad Maia, so maybe that helps Iga just be a little more match fit and kind of match ready, ready to fight, helps her maybe get off to a good start. I think that's going to be a key, but all of the odds are on Iga Swiatek. I mean, that's the favorite. But we have to remember, Muchova did beat her before. It was a few years ago, but maybe that gives her a little more confidence. Or you not believing?
No, I believe it. By the way, it was 4 years ago. Iga was a teenager. That said, Iga was still ranked higher at the time.
She was, and it was on clay.
Yep. I mean,
Muchova, she's a tricky player. She's got just enough variety, so we'll see how Swiatek deals with it.
Swiatek, she's won this title twice. She's becoming like a Rafa favorite here at Roland Garros on the women's side, Paul. But Muchova had never been past the third round before. What's different this year for her?
I think just she's kind of made it her own perfect storm, right? Got off to that great start against Sakkari first round, only lost one set until the semifinals. And Chanda, I think, summed it up so well. Just really good with variety. You know, she can do a lot of things that break rhythm for players, make them feel really uncomfortable. There's a little variety right there, a little back-spinning drop shot. She's a very, very talented woman. The biggest thing for me is, how will she handle the moment? What will go through her mind? How much will she trust her game? Will she be able to execute under pressure? We know what Iga can do in these big moments. She's getting more familiar here. So for me, Muchova has to really do a nice job mentally and use that rhythm breaking to create some problems.
As Chanda and Paul have mentioned, John, two very different roads to the final here at Roland Garros. Swiatek, pretty smooth sailing. Muchova, a couple of potholes.
Yeah, someone took local roads, someone put their path into Waze and went directly. So this is Muchova. Look, she starts off with a top 8 seed, beats Sakkari, and then the draw really opened for her. I mean, even in the quarters, she played Pavlyuchenkova, who was not inside the top 300 at the time, and then a big, big win in the semis against number 2. But you see, look at Bagel set against Podoroshka. Speaking of bagels, here's Iga's path. A tad easier, and I think more critically, 5 fewer hours spent on court. But look, I mean, she had 4 bagels in her first 6 sets of tennis.
A little
bit of a push in the...
Doesn't want to talk about the bakery, though.
Yeah, doesn't want that. That's off the table, as it were, for conversation. But Iga's played a lot less tennis and a lot less stressful tennis, too.
When she won 3 years ago, didn't drop a set, lost 28 games. Heading into the final, has lost 23 games, so on pace to even better that, Iga Swiatek. We'll hear from both players later on TC Live, but let's get to the men's semifinals from yesterday. And we begin with the most highly anticipated match of the year, Paul. Carlos Alcaraz, Novak Djokovic. For a couple of sets, it lived up to that hype.
Yeah, I mean, two of the best athletes you will ever see on tennis courts and probably elsewhere. Just tremendous offense from both. Novak showed us why his defense is so difficult to penetrate. First set, got
out in front, got that break to serve, and was just the better player in the first set. I felt like Alcaraz missed a lot of balls, but have a look at this, folks. That one is for the record books. My friend next to me, Steve Weissman, said that's been done before.
Federer did it back in the day, but maybe... It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, the second set was a lot of excitement, wasn't it? Alcaraz served for the set, lost his serve, and then all of a sudden it hit 5-all, faced break point, and got through that, then broke it. Love, it was a set all John. It went haywire after that.
These were almost like two different matches. We can see Alcaraz hobbling. This is early in the third set. The cramps are kicking in. He later attributed to tension, but, you know, Novak Djokovic played a part in that. A lot of long points, a hot day, and then the tension of having Novak on the other side of the net. And after the first two sets, a much different match. Honestly, Alcaraz, we didn't even know if he would get through this, but just a greatly depleted, diminished player. Novak being Novak, and this for two sets, almost 3 hours, just lived up to the hype, and then actually became a little painful to watch, guys.
Now, Alcaraz said the tension of the match was the reason for the cramps. Full credit to Djokovic for imposing his will, both physically and mentally, into his 34th major final in 70 Grand Slams played. And that's nearly half. Decades of dominance. The stats don't mean much after the second set, but the biggest one isn't even pictured. Djokovic, now just one win from his 23rd major singles title. All right, the other semifinal, Alexander Zverev, back in the Final Four after leaving last year in a wheelchair, facing last year's runner-up, Shanda, Casper Ruud.
Yeah, and Ruud got off to a terrific start, and it's such an advantage when you can break early right out of the gate. The first time of asking, got that early lead, Ruud, and just relaxed and settled into this match. A lot of winners early on. Zverev trying to be a little bit aggressive, but looked just a little sluggish with the first step in some of these rallies, and Ruud took full advantage. The forehand was a big shot for him. Able to get that first set tucked away, and it was a little more of the same in the second, although it took a little longer for Ruud to try to get the break. He had the opportunity there, took advantage, and again, just line drives in the big spaces, big margins, just felt like he was playing the type of tennis that he could play all day long. Two sets to love, and everything was against Zverev, and Ruud just kept firing. Gotta get to that, Steve. Though you can't let that go. But again, Ruud just finding the spaces he needed, finding the angles. Nice movement there, and playing just so within himself. This was a big match, a big opportunity, and he looked very comfortable in the moment. Got through pretty straightforward fashion.
Said from the beginning to the last point, everything was going my way. Casper Ruud into his third Grand Slam final in the last five majors. So Ruud and Djokovic going to meet for the fifth time. Djokovic has won the previous four, including two on clay, all eight sets. The Tennis Channel premiere, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Sunday. Let's check out the odds with FanDuel, John. And Novak Djokovic, pretty heavy favorite to this one. Maybe plus 116 on both players winning a set. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's funny because this is the third seed against the fourth seed, right? I mean, in a vacuum, this shouldn't be lopsided. But I think sort of everything points to Novak, including the head-to-heads that you mentioned. Sure. Could Ruud get a set? I think I would do that, but I think that's where after that you pump the brakes.
Right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to start making every moment more. All right, Paul, Novak Djokovic on the verge of history. 23 major singles titles. That would take the lead on the men's side. Can Casper Ruud spoil that?
Look, you don't get to the finals by accident. Casper Ruud's playing some great tennis, and the fact that he's been in three of the last five major finals, he's getting more comfortable being in that situation. The problem is it's Novak Djokovic on the other side of the net, and also the matchup is a tough one. You know, besides being the finals at Roland Garros, the style matchup is a really tough one. That's why Ruud has not won any sets against him and lost twice in straight sets at Rome in 2022 and 2020. So it's a little bit tricky for me to say he's got a good shot. There's always a chance. We saw him out here practicing a little while ago, working on some different patterns. He's going to have to get out of his comfort zone to do that. If he does, he can create some opportunities. Then it's a matter of what Novak does if he feels the pressure. But Casper Ruud has to start off really well. He cannot get down a set and a break. It's going to be a quick match if that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, matchups are so important. When you look at one style versus the other. And I think for Casper Ruud, he plays similarly to Novak Djokovic, but Djokovic just does everything better. And it was so impressive the way Djokovic was serving yesterday, really going after it. It's why he had so many of those serve plus one points in his favor. And I think that's the same type of mentality he's going to take into this matchup. I think for Ruud, he'd have a better shot if it was two out of three sets. Three out of five, we talked about this with Alcaraz. Djokovic is just such a master, you know, at working through a match, at understanding the ebbs and flows of it. And it's just tough to see Ruud with the real pathway to win, although anything can happen when you toss the balls up. You got to favor Djokovic pretty much in every department.
I feel like we need to do stretching exercise. You need to be really limber, I think, to build a case for Casper. I mean, look, there have been these moments. Juan Martín Del Potro comes out and hits Federer off the court at the 2009 U.S. Open. I mean, there is a bit of history, but you just go down the list, and it's hard to figure out anything Casper necessarily does better than Novak, rising to the occasion with history on the line, the head-to-head records. Who knows? We hope for a good, hard-fought, competitive match. I don't think the tension is going to bother Casper Ruud, but I don't see a lot in the Ruud column of the ledger here, guys.
So we know Roger Federer's retired. Rafa's not here. But until proven otherwise, the big three still reign supreme when it comes to best three out of five, and that's Novak Djokovic looking to win his third straight major. 20 straight matches won in majors. We'll continue to break this down on TC Live tomorrow morning. But much more to come in this show. The most controversial moment of the tournament ended with smiles all around. No more tears. More good karma for Kato. Plus, John Wertheim explains how this tennis power couple continues to thrive despite all the turmoil surrounding them. And we begin our best of the best countdown of the 10 hottest shots and prettiest points of Roland Garros 2023. See if your favorite player made the cut. More championship TC Live after this.
TC Live at Roland Garros is presented by LoopNet, the most popular place to find a space.
Back on TC Live, it is time for our Tennis Point Gear Spotlight. Rafa fans, snap on this QR code. It is the Rafa Collection, available now. This Babolat Pure Aero Rafa tennis racket, developed directly with Rafa Nadal, features tour-level specifications, a stiffer frame, head-heavy balance, get you more spin and power. Then we got the 12-pack bag, three fully insulated compartments to carry up to a dozen rackets. The design reduces strain on your back and shoulders. Shop now for the Rafa Collection and more with this QR code or at tennispoint.com, tennis-point.com. The colors are beautiful.
They are, and I don't need the 12-stick bag, but the racket is all the things I like, Steve.
Yeah.
Head heavy. It's a little stiffer frame. Reduces tension up here. I need all of that.
Use my phone. Get that QR code.
There you go, Kevin. I think we can hook you up with one of those.
Exactly.
You know, I've been a Wilson girl, you know, so
true.
Long.
I don't know. You can get that at Tennis Shop as well. John, what do you make of, Rafa? And he's liked the pink for a while now.
Oh, Rafa.
The colors,
Rocking the pink for a while. Yeah, exactly. Nice contrast. Goes well with red clay. But let's hope we haven't seen the last of Rafa actually swinging those sticks and not just making them for sale.
The gear is hot. What about the forecast? Here's Fox Weather for today's match.
Hey there, I'm Fox Weather's Craig Herrera, and here's today's Roland Garros forecast. Mix of sun and clouds to start the day, but you're going to notice things change by the afternoon with the chance for showers and thunderstorms. Highs right about 81 degrees. A bit of a breeze out there, gusting up to 7 miles per hour for our pros. Hey, remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thanks so much. Still to come, Gems Life sparkled in Paris. We look into the incredible world of Elena Svitolina and Gael Monfils. J.
Tana Paul, John, and Steve back on TC Live from Roland Garros, presented by LoopNet. One of the best stories early on at Roland Garros, Gael Monfils making an incredible comeback in the first round, down love four, break point in the fifth set. Monfils fought back to win after midnight in front of the French crowd, his first tour-level win of the season. What a moment. He would withdraw from his next match with a wrist injury. After that win, Monfils still got up early to cheer on his wife, Alina Svitolina, who had her own magical fortnight in France. Svitolina made it all the way to the quarterfinals. But as John Wertheim reports, there is much more to their story.
Together, they have combined for 27 professional tennis titles. More than 400 weeks inside the top 10, $42 million in prize money, and one daughter, Skye, born last October. They are tennis's current power couple, a husband and wife, both still active players, him at age 36, she at 28. While Gael Monfils and Alina Svitolina have both played at the highest level, in his case, literally, they now have different sources of motivation.
That is simply incredible!
First, Monfils, tennis's great showstopper, perhaps the most gifted natural athlete tennis has ever known. He may have a triple-digit ranking at the moment, but he continues to play as a means of entertaining and bringing joy to the festivities. He has stated that he wants to stretch his career through the 2024 Summer Olympics, which will be held in Paris, at Roland Garros, the equivalent of a home game. And he continues playing because he wants to be there for his wife. She, you see, has been through a lot, a nearly inconceivable lot. In 2021, Monfils and Svitolina married. That same year, her tennis triumphs were many, not least her beating future Wimbledon champ Elena Rybakina to take an Olympic bronze medal for her country, Ukraine. 6 months later, Ukraine was invaded by Russia, and Svitolina's life was invaded as well. Family members suddenly made to subsist in cold and darkness amid danger and uncertainty. Peers entered the military, some never to return. Schools and tennis courts that nurtured Svitolina as a girl turned to rubble. Between marriage, motherhood, and war, understandably, hitting a ball over a net seemed trivial. Yet, it also seemed like the best way Svitolina could help. So she launched a comeback for maternity leave, charged by a love of tennis, yes, but more so by a love of country. Tennis would become a way to call attention to Ukraine as it defends itself bravely. For Svitolina, tennis would be a way to raise awareness and funds. Tennis would be her instrument to make sure Ukraine's struggle stayed top of mind and didn't escape the world's attention.
I would like to share this with my homeland. I will be donating all my prize money.
At tournaments, she'll play her matches, but also make appearances and hold press conferences and donate significant chunks of her prize money. Between events, she'll hold fundraisers and work with her foundation and use her social media platform as a megaphone.
Hey guys, how's the Gems Life going on the Instagram account? All good.
This is not what motivated either Monfils or Svitolina when they were top five players not long ago. These are not circumstances they envisioned, much less asked for. But here they are, together, soldiering on. Here's hoping he makes it to the Olympics next summer. And here's hoping the war in Ukraine will end soon and she can go back to playing for herself.
Well done, as always, John. And let's start with Alina Svitolina, that half of Gem's life. We've talked about this before, Chana. Had a baby October 15th of last year. That is less than 8 months ago. What she is doing is superhuman.
It's incredible how short a period of time it has been for Svitolina since giving birth and to be back out. She played her first tournament in April in Charleston. We were there, and it's unimaginable that she would have won a tournament by now, got to the quarterfinals here at Roland Garros, her first major back I mean, it's unbelievable. And to do all of it with what is going on in the background, with what she's having to deal with personally, with her family, with her country, I don't think any of us can really understand the ins and outs day to day and how she's been able, you know, to bring that type of mindset. I certainly think that her husband, Gael Monfils, he has been such a big help. And being here in France, where she has felt so supported, maybe that has really helped her deal with a lot of it. But it's just tough to imagine how she's been this strong, and her tennis has been just fun to watch.
Yeah, to think that she won the title in Strasbourg. She's only 28 years old, so certainly a lot more tennis still to come for Elena Svitolina. Paul, that one night, Gael Monfils was that spectacular La Monf that we have grown accustomed to seeing. How do you see his hopes of making the Olympics back here in Paris next year?
Well, I think the biggest challenge for Gael is going to kind of be what it's always been, but more magnified. Can he stay healthy? And I think that that's been an issue throughout his career. We know how unbelievably talented he is. We know what he can do with a tennis racket, and we definitely know what he can do with a crowd. I mean, he is just electric. He makes everybody stand up and applaud. But will the body hold up? I still think he's the best athlete I've ever seen on a tennis court. I love watching him play. He's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in the locker room. I hope he can stay healthy and put on a great show, because here in Paris, that would be spectacular to see him play the Olympics here.
With the wrist injury is a bit of a cause for concern. Also, I mean, keep in mind, there's an eight-year age difference with this couple. I mean, Gael Monfils is almost 37 years old. And as host of the 2024 Olympics, Paris has one discretionary spot, but that presupposes there isn't a player in the top 56. So just it's technicalities, but it's no given that on ranking he'll be able to qualify. It would be a great way for him to put a bow on this wildly entertaining career. But I just keep thinking, we all sort of followed Jem's life, and it was a fun social media thing. And that's taken a very different turn this last year or 15 months, and it's become a much different story. But the couple seems as strong as ever. They're now parents, and Svitolina's playing as well as ever. Gael Monfils still a wonderful entertainer, but you do wonder if we'll see him again anytime soon.
But by the way, Jem's life has some competition for biggest tennis power couple. Now, there is a new Instagram account that has popped up. Tsitsidosa. That's right. Stefano Tsitsipas and Paula Badosa. They're the new Jem's life, and they are producing a lot of content right now.
We've got to go with the longevity, though, Steve.
Yeah.
They're not there yet.
Not there yet. Has it been a week?
Not yet, but they have more videos out there than anybody. By the way, Steffi and Andre, they are the ultimate tennis royalty, right?
All sport.
Oh, yeah. 30 major titles together. Tennis Channel's premiere of the women's final, 2 p.m. Eastern. Świątek, Muchova. You don't want to miss it. More after this. Iga Świątek returns as the women's defending champion, hoping to claim her third title on the Terre Battue and maintain her dominance at the top of the women's game.
Sublime domination by Iga Świątek for a second. Roland Garros.
What a year it's been for Iga Świątek.
Domination indeed. Take a look at this. Women with three major titles in the Open era. Iga already in this exclusive club with Ash Barty, Angie Kerber, Jennifer Capriati, our own Lindsay Davenport, and Virginia Wade. So, John, what does it say to you that at 22 years of age, Iga is now just two sets away from passing all of those Hall of Famers?
Yeah, I think this is just a signpost on the way to a much bigger number. And she's young. She's undefeated in finals going into today. There's variety to her game. She's an athlete. You know, if she gets four today, that's great, but you get the feeling the clicker's going to have plenty of clicks left.
She's turning Roland Garros into Poland Garros, right? I mean, this is her third final here. She's already won twice. What makes her so dominant? Only one set lost, by the way, when she's won here. What makes her so dominant here?
You know, that's a good question. We try to encapsulate greatness all the time. And, you know, from the start, this seemed to be the surface that suits Iga Świątek's game. She has a little more time on the clay. She's got big ground strokes. She really looks to explode the ball. She's so quick with her footwork, getting in and out of the corners. Those are all skill sets that benefit players on this surface. I think also it's the intangibles. It's her mindset, you know, how she never takes a point off. every point, she goes 100%. You know, so having that type of mentality on this surface, match in and match out, it makes it tough for opponents to find inroads, to find, you know, drops in her level, drops in her concentration. I think that makes her such a tough out on this surface as well. And, you know, we talk about the footwork, but until you're on the other side and you hear those little steps and you see her, you know, taking those extra, you know, minute moves, you know, that allows her to get in position time and time again. So I think it's the sum total of her game.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that sometimes we have this preconceived idea of clay quarters being steady and solid and not missing a ball, and she's all that. But she moves and plays with a sense of urgency. I mean, Chanda, you mentioned it with the small steps, the footwork, the heavy forehand. She doesn't let players breathe. I mean, she is oppressive. You can't find gaps anymore. You used to be able to get to the backhand a little bit more easily. Now she's hitting that more offensively. She's coming to the net. So it's a really difficult matchup for everybody because, number one, she moves great on clay. Number two, she doesn't miss much. And number three, the heaviness of the forehand, it is just jumping everywhere. So it's really tough. And like John said, I think those tickers are just going to keep clicking, clicking, clicking. She's rough on this surface especially.
Would be the third woman in the Open era to win her first four major finals. Let's hear from both players inside the press room.
Who knows what can happen? I think everything has its own time, and in the past it was not easy, and that's actually what makes me to appreciate this result even more now, because I know what I've been through in the past, and to be now in a Grand Slam final, it's for sure my dream, and I'm super super glad that I'm here and that I'm gonna play finals on Saturday.
I really like her game, honestly. I really respect her, and she's a player who can do anything, you know. She has great touch. She can also speed up the game. She plays with that kind of, I don't know, freedom in her movements, and she has a great technique. So I watched her matches, and I feel like I know her game pretty well. But obviously, on matches, it's a little bit different, and I'll be ready no matter what.
Three major titles in her last 10 events. That's pretty spectacular. 62 straight weeks at number one by reaching the final. Sabalenka losing. She has guaranteed to keep that going. Third longest streak after making her number one debut. And, of course, last year she was simply unbeatable. Toughest match came in the semifinals to Beatriz Haddad-Maia, Chanda.
Yeah, and the first set was, you know, fairly straightforward, although, you know, Iga, she really had to work to get ahead. And this is where things shifted for her after losing her serve the first game, able to rebound Swiatek, and they're finding that cross-court passing shot would win the last four games of this first set, and Swiatek was off and running. She's such a front runner and was able to get better. But in the second set, Haddad-Maia really showed her class, her fight, was able to get a set point. Swiatek saved it, and here was the forehand that really allowed Swiatek to find the openings. That forehand from Haddad-Maia got things back to 7-all. But these last couple of points here, it was Swiatek more aggressive, taking ground away, staying on top of the baseline, and exploding the ball. And that is one of the strengths of her game. When things get tough, she digs in even more, handles the moment beautifully with all the pressure on her, and able to close this one out in straight sets. Huge effort for Iga Swiatek.
That's a great point, Chanda, because entering every match for the last year, the pressure has been on her. She has been the favorite, and she has lived up to that world number one ranking. On the other side, Karolina Muchova in that semifinal against Aryna Sabalenka. She was on the verge of defeat before somehow Paul finding a way.
This was a great match. First two sets, incredibly high level play. See Muchova there getting up to the net. And when she does that and breaks rhythm and gets out of pattern, she's very difficult to deal with. Look at the two-hander down the line. Captures that first set, 7-6. Give Sabalenka credit. I thought she did a great job in the second set, not going away, trusting the groundies, trusting the game, and really just backing herself in the tiebreak. Played some really good power tennis. Big forehand here. You're never short with passion from Sabalenka.
third set right here, match point, guys. This is where I kind of had to close my eyes for a few minutes. This is a real tough one, up 5-2. And Mukova shows us how well she can stay composed. Sure, Sabalenka made a bunch of unforced errors, but Mukova did exactly what she needed to do. Patience, move the ball around, good shot selection, and the blink of an eye, 20 of the last 24 points, and she steals that match to get into the final. She was truly a composed competitor.
Incredible stuff from the Czech. First major final has completely changed her Roland Garros narrative, leaving last year in a boot with an injury to just beautiful memories, one win from the title. And she is pitch perfect, like one of her friends. 5-0 against top three opponents. Remember when Rebel Wilson at Wimbledon was like, I'm such a big Carolina Mukova fan. And then she got tickets to watch her play. And by the way, Wimbledon's an interesting comp here, John, because remember Ash Barty always said, clay court season's one week closer to the grass. She won her first major title here at Roland Garros. Plays somewhat of a similar game. Do you see a comparison between Barty and Mukova?
You'll notice, too, Barty was one of those players. I mean, not bored. She's undefeated against top three players? What? And four of those have come at majors, and one of those was to Ash Barty. Ash Barty, actually, she lost it. She described Mukova as a jockey jock. She's a very athletic player. The Barty comparison, I buy to an extent. I think Mukova is probably better suited for the clay. And again, I mean, she's unseeded. She's trying to become the third unseeded player to win the women's title in the last 6 years, so there is some precedent there. But I think she can really stand in there. I think the big question is going to be fatigue. But Mukova was, this is not a player. Who is she? I mean, I think everyone kind of knew she's way better than her ranking indicated.
Yeah, I mean, this is a former top 20 player. She was 19 in the world, you know, a couple of years ago. Injuries and bad luck have kept her off the court for huge periods of time. And I think she's finally been able to stay healthy for an extended period. She's gaining the confidence from being on the match court. And I think this surface actually suits her game. I mean, she might have said this was maybe her least favorite surface. Maybe it's becoming her most favorite because she's got a little more time. She's also improved her movement. Out of the corners, she is so good now at getting back into court, closing off that space. She can go from defense to offense. I think that is a skill set on this surface that pays some dividends. So there's a lot of plus marks in the Mukova column. And the serve, we don't talk as much about that, but you know, the serve is a real weapon. She can get some free points. She can get that serve plus one going. And so there's a lot of, I think, positives in her game on this surface.
If she wins the title here, I think she'll have a different view about the red clay into her first major final. It is coming up 2 p.m. Eastern, the premiere right here on Tennis Channel. There is Carolina Mukova. She's going to set a new career high ranking no matter what happens today. Projected to get to number 16, could get all the way to 10. Iga Swiatek trying to become the eighth woman in the Open era to win here three or more times. The other players all in the Hall of Fame. Stay with us here on TC Live. Back on TC Live from Roland Garros, presented by LoopNet. More trophies handed out earlier today. Girls singles final. Aussie Open junior champ Alina Kornieva trying to stay perfect in majors, facing Peru's Luciana Perez Alarcón. Chanda.
And it was Kornieva really using her experience down the stretch in that first set, was able to get it in a tie break. Nice forehands using that to open up the court. Could also do it off the backhand side. She played that incredibly long match to win the AO Junior Girls title at the beginning of the year. This match, not quite as long. She got her nose out in front here in the second set and able to keep it going, and always a huge win when you can get these junior titles under your belt. So she's now a two-time champ this year.
First player to win the girls' singles titles at the opening two slams of the year since Magdalena Maleva back in 1990. You're a former junior champ.
Yeah?
How'd that feel here?
Wait.
Where'd you win your junior title?
Oh, mine. I can't even remember, Steve. Wimbledon.
Oh, okay.
I barely remember.
That thing? One?
Heard of it.
I was thinking of so many of the matches here in the juniors, you know, playing singles, playing doubles with Lindsay. There was some trauma there.
Yeah.
You guys played junior doubles together?
We did.
Do we have any video of that?
Please don't.
Can we find it?
But we had fun. We had a lot of fun.
What round?
I can't even remember.
You remember that Wimbledon title, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a title.
There you go.
There were two American boys who made the semifinals as well in the juniors. We've talked about the 15-year-old, Darwin Blanche, who John trains at Juan Carlos Ferrero's academy. Yeah. Been hitting with Carlos Alcaraz.
What a revelation. I feel like some credit to junior mom Lindsay Davenport for sort of bringing him up. And then with each round, his crowds got bigger, and there was sort of this buzz throughout. I mean, this guy's got a lot of talent, lefty, lanky, trains at the Ferrero Academy, which I think says a lot about where his priorities are. Ran out of steam a little bit, but boy, you want a player to watch. We hate to hype teenagers. By the same time, it would almost be negligent if we did not remark upon someone who's this impressive.
We love to hype teenagers, but we just don't want to put too much pressure
there
on
you
them.
Pressure's a privilege, Paul. Yeah, the other American, by the way, who made it into the semifinal, Lerner Tien, USC freshman. And where he trains is where you work, SoCal Tennis.
I get to spend some time with Lerner on the court periodically, and I've gotten to know him the last few years. Great young kid, left-handed game, a lot of talent. Saw him lose a tough final down in Australian Open Juniors this year. Won a bunch of good matches here, and he's one of these kids, I think, that has all the skills that will translate to the higher level. So, look, we had three boys in the final eight of the juniors here, so there's some good promising players, and to see it on the dirt's really impressive.
Yeah. The future is bright. Brett Macy hopes that Lerner Tien comes back for the Trojans again.
You never know.
We don't know. We shall see. Meantime, Andy Murray getting ahead of everybody. Head start on the grass court season. Two-time Wimbledon champ. Got a comeback win over Jason Kubler yesterday.
I mean, look at the green grass, guys. It just gives me goosebumps to see it. And to see Andy out on the green grass this early is pretty impressive. Really trying to gear himself up to give himself a good shot at Wimby. Let's just hope he can stay healthy.
He's going to face defending champion Jordan Thompson in the semifinals. A win here would get him to 45 in the rankings. He would love to get seeded by Wimbledon, Shanna. Opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, he's close, right on the edge. I mean, the entries happen quite a bit before. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, the seedings can shift right before the tournament based on rankings. So that would be something to shoot for.
Not sure whether to play Nottingham or Stuttgart. What do you think, Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he should play, and I think he should play Stuttgart.
Stuttgart, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But he may want to stay home.
Yeah.
Want to stay home, Nottingham.
3 weeks, can that be right? Here on the clay, 3 weeks, we'll be on the grass at Wimbledon.
There we go. Hey, look what's going on, guys.
Nice little ceremony right now on court Philippe Chatrier. Sounds beautiful.
Well, Carmen,
we'll let that send us right off to break. Iga Swiatek, Carolina Mukova, Tennis Channel premiere, 2 p.m. Eastern. It is Championship Saturday in Paris.
Incredible!
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's an amazing point.
That's just big hitting there.
Mark that down for best of the best.
She's a joy to watch.
Needs. Doesn't take much to incite this crowd. Hopefully this is it for the Frenchman.
Did you see the
I believe that is what we call foreshadowing of what's more to come from Carlos Alcaraz.
I think it is. I mean, that last shot, it looked like his racket bended against all physical.
He was in the Matrix.
The Matrix, that's exactly what it was.
He is the one. Yeah. He was Neo.
The laws of physics
did you see the
do not apply.
Of the opponent?
Yeah, I love that. What are you doing?
I was like Djokovic, who gave the same sort of reaction to that shot yesterday. I mean, he's a highlight machine.
He is. We're going to have our own segment with him, I think, on the show. Maybe like a little 5-minute each time.
Best of the best, Carlitos.
Yeah, why
best
not?
Of
Alcaraz.
Yeah. All right, time to enter the social net. Biggest drama of this fortnight came in women's doubles. Miyu Kato hit a practice backhand that hit a ball girl. Now, the umpire gave her a warning initially, but the opponent, Sara Cerevisiormo and Marie Boskova, complained that the ball girl was crying. And the umpire changed his decision to default them. In fact, they took all the prize money and points away from Kato. Now, Kato was allowed to stay in the mixed doubles draw with Tim Putz, and the tennis gods came through as Kato is now a major champion. Do it for Kato, karma for Kato, and look how it all came full circle. Posted a photo with the very same ball girl that she unintentionally hit. Gave her a gift as well. The perfect ending to this story, Chanda. How about that?
Yeah, you know, it was lost a little bit in the moment, but you kind of felt bad for the ball girl, maybe feeling like all of this, you know, hubbub was because of her crying and making a big deal about it, and it wasn't. And it was nice to see Kato kind of acknowledge this. And she was just so terrific in her speech. The way, you know, she kind of, you know, took on some of the responsibility, but made everybody else who was involved feel good about it and, you know, not have any negative feelings. So I thought just a lot of positive things came from that. And certainly she's got to feel that as well. She's got a title, Grand Slam title.
Only thing missing about this story now, can we win this on appeal and give the poor woman her points and prize money? And then we will have come full circle. We can move on, and we have a new player to cheer for. She got a lot more popular in the last week. And, as you say, Steve, got a major trophy to boot.
Pretty cool. Miyu Kato. All right. Meantime, Kana Shikori team, they are getting back to work. They're going to be playing a challenger in Puerto Rico, Paul. We haven't seen Kay on court in quite some time. It's been 2021, Indian Wells. Had some surgery. What are you looking forward to with Kei Nishikori?
Yeah, boy, it's been a rough go of it for Kei Nishikori. Even when he wasn't totally injured like he is right now, he was always injured. I mean, he had a lot of injuries throughout his career, and he had to have a procedure done to kind of file down some bones to give himself some more space in his arm because of the elbow issue. It's just been such a rough go of it. And Kei, one of the best athletes out there, one of the best two-handers I've seen. So let's hope he can stay healthy. He's got to build himself back up. He's got to see if he can do the reps so that he can sustain it at the highest level. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be able to do that. Unbelievably good athlete and an extremely hard worker. But look, we just don't know what's going to happen because with these injuries, you're just not sure. We've seen Dominic Thiem struggle to get back. So let's just keep our fingers crossed and say he can stay healthy.
One thing I always love to see is folks that have made tens of millions of dollars, have been to the heights of the game, go back to those lower levels,
love of the
challengers.
Game. Love the game.
Wants to keep playing tennis, and we want to see Kei Nishikori back on a tennis court as well. The entertainment continues, John, and is this still Carmen?
I believe it is. I'm not entirely sure what the theme is. Would have been a good one yesterday with the Spaniard, but there's the cup, so maybe it's tied to that.
Coupe Suzanne Langlois. To the winner go the spoils and the trophies and the money and all that. Here's our championship Sunday lineup. Women's doubles final, 5:30 a.m. Eastern. The four of us back for TC Live at 8 a.m. Eastern. And the men's final premiere at 2 p.m. Eastern. Back on TC Live, it is time, John, for our LoopNet Finding Space winning point.
LoopNet Finding Space is perfect header for this. This is the pre-champ portion of the match before. Yeah. Don't try this at home, kids. We need like a name for that. Finding space. Look at the space he found. The sidewinder? That's not bad.
He ran all the way around. Yeah. It's so much easier to do a tweener. Oh. And he took
tweener.
He has so much speed that he wanted to run further.
The tweener just died yesterday.
We have a new party trick.
Wow.
Think he's an athlete?
Some said this is the best shot all time in the history of the sport. Maybe hyperbole, Jen.
He could have hit a backhand. He could have hit a tweener. He ended up hitting a forehand.
Just wanted
I don't know
to run
anybody
further.
That could have
just wanted to run
created that.
Let's get a couple more sprints in.
Roger did it. He did do it. You can find it on Twitter. Time, Chanda, for your FanDuel match pick.
Chanda. What do you got?
Who you, are you putting 5 or 10 on it? What are we doing today?
I put 5 on Djokovic. Got some bucks because of it.
All right.
Thank
34
you.
Wins.
Ooh.
Tied with Iga.
And partly because I couldn't afford more than a $5 bet. So
on
that's
your way
nice
out of debtor's prison, though. 4-4-4.
John, it feels like it's a hard road.
Chanda is not going to default on the economy.
I'm going to stay in there. I'm going to hang on. But, you know, I was trying to look at plus money again. That's kind of been the trend, but I just couldn't in this one. Had to go with Iga Świątek. She has just been too dominant. And yeah, it would be fool's gold to try to get even 5.
Even 5. I mean, it's long odds today.
Yeah.
Who are you picking, John?
Tough.
Yeah. I see a 3-3 setter. I can't see Iga losing, but I could
really?
See a really tight match.
I think it's going to be straight sets for Iga Świątek. I think it's been a great tournament for Muhova, but she's just too good, I think, right now.
I want to see a battle. I want to see that. I'm hoping she's got, you know, a little
all
extra push. Muhova, last match of the tournament. You know, just throw it all out there. But should be interesting, a little contrast of style.
It's a funnel. Anything can happen.
Absolutely.
Listen, we saw what happened to Carlos Alcaraz yesterday. The cramps. Iga can cramp. Anything could happen. Our Tennis Channel premiere of the women's final airs at 2 p.m. Eastern with Jason Goodall and Hall of Famer Lindsay Davenport. For Chanda, Paul, John, and our entire team, I'm Steve Weissman. Thanks for watching TC Live at Roland Garros. We will see you later today.